Welcome to the USA Hockey Magazine podcast, the voice of hockey in America, with your host, Harry Thompson, editor of USA Hockey Magazine.
Welcome to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast. We're here on the last day of the National Hockey Coaches Symposium. We are joined by U.S. Olympic head coach Dan Bylsma, who just spoke, talking about developing habits and systems as it pertains to the playing the one-on-one. Dan, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be with you.
You know, it's always great to sit and listen to you speak. I listened to you a couple years ago in D.C. I want to get some of your thoughts about presenting there and presenting here.
I think, you know, I'm always encouraged about presenting, and when you see the number of people and the number of coaches that are out there developing, getting better, working at it, it's always a little bit humbling on giving that direction and talking to these guys. And I feel, and even more so now as an Olympic coach, yeah, I feel like I need to have some wonderful antidote information and lesson to give, and it really just comes back down to really simple coaching and teaching to the players. So it's good to be here. It's great to see people and people becoming coaches and developing as coaches, and the number of people that we're developing is pretty cool.
You know, after every one of these presentations this week, coaches all want to come up and talk to some of the presenters. You know, you probably had the largest group of anybody this weekend. Are most of the questions that people asking you about X's and O's kind of things, or are they wanting to talk to you about the Penguins or U.S. hockey, or what do they want to talk to you about?
Yeah, there's a few questions were about the Penguins and Team USA. I think, you know, largely there's some, you know, questions about dealing with players, dealing with parents, dealing with personalities more than X's and O's. Talking about those situations and how, as a NHL coach, I've dealt with personalities and dealt with the players. And are you dealing with, you know, egos and where they may be dealing with a parent, or they may be dealing with a kid who's been coached by the parent? That's really, that one is the question that I get the most.
Well, you are to jump ahead a little bit. This year, you're going to get a chance to be on that side of the spectrum. You're going to coach your son, U15 team in the Pittsburgh area. What are some of your thoughts about getting ready for that?
You know, I've coached a lot of pro players, American League level, NHL level, and you get players that have survived. There's survival of the fittest. They're the best players coming to you, but they don't necessarily have the skills of the game or know the game. And now going and play and coaching with younger players, U15 players, you at times you don't want to go over the fundamentals. You don't want to teach them the details and then teach them the skills, because you want to get on with practice. You want to get on with, but you know, we've started right at, and I'm coaching the defensemen and spending a lot of time with the defensemen. So it's building foundation, building the skills and the details in their game so that they have the ability to play the game. And it's almost the same as I would as if it was an NHL player at the highest level. But you want to make sure you give these kids the skills and the abilities and the details to play the game. And we've been doing that here the first couple of weeks.
You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't bring up the point that what's happening in Pittsburgh over the last number of years. I mean, there's some great hockey players coming out of Pittsburgh. What is your thoughts about why, you know, Pittsburgh's become such a hockey hotbed?
You see the number of players in amateur hockey having grown so dramatically in Pittsburgh area, and it's almost gone into waves with Mario Lemieux coming to the Penguins in the late 80s. There's a huge influx of interest and players to the game of hockey. And you see those people in Pittsburgh now, and then you ride the wave of Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin, and it's even exponentially, I think, the level of focus and interest in hockey, being a fan and people playing it. And the Penguins and USA Hockey has done such a great job of attracting and giving programs for those players through, with Sidney Crosby, giving away gear to all the kids, literally for no money at all. They can get their gear and start hockey, and the programs that are in Pittsburgh really are super vast, and the number of players is just really, it's really staggering how many kids are playing and how many kids are playing at all different levels. And the kids in the travel programs for tryouts are over 100 for tryouts, and good quality kids in a couple different areas. So it's just a huge number of kids, and it's great to see. Mm-hmm. A lot of people coming to the game and enjoying the game. And then there's programs that teach and coaches that have been great coaches for the kids that are playing there.
Absolutely. Well, you know, one thing about your presentation today that stuck with me was, as you were talking about when you were a pro and you were 26 years old, that you went back to learned how to do crossovers the right way. And it just, I think that resonated with a lot of people that, you know, it's when it comes to skill development, you're never too old to learn, even at the pro level.
Well, I think I think scientifically and maturation level with players, we'd like them to develop the skills at younger ages than 26 years old. But in my coaching, in my playing, I didn't do it correctly. I had bad habits as a result. And at 26 years old, I learned the correct way to do that. And I was working at that point to still get better in that regard. And I did, and it helped me out tremendously in my career and the skills of skating and passing, saucer passing, and yeah, even how to shoot a one-timer. Something I didn't talk about today, but I learned that skill in my last year of playing, and you took it into at your coach's clinic where I learned that skill, and now I'm much better at it. I'm way older, and I don't play hockey, but I'm much better at it now than I was when I left the game. But learning and teaching the skills and still doing it at that age, hopefully we get it to them earlier. But, it is the game of hockey for our groups and our kids.
Well, your kids are going to be fortunate to get the benefit of you teaching them here in Pittsburgh. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you just about, the Olympics and Sochi and what you took away from being the head coach of the U.S. Olympic team, being over there, and I mean, how did that kind of change you as a coach, if it did at all?
Well, it certainly the biggest honor and of my career, being named the head coach and the coach of the 2000 Olympic team, to get that responsibility and to be able to coach our national team and the great players that we do have as U.S. Olympians was, I've coached an All-Star game before, and really, it's a symbolic thing as a All-Star coach or being a part of that. But this is completely different. We're getting the best players in the world, and we're coming together in a very short period of time and trying to, win a gold medal. And that was a great and a huge learning experience for me with that group, with those players, and with that opportunity. And it's one that I think as a coach, I grew immensely as a coach throughout that process. And you're coaching the greatest players in the world and you're competing for a gold medal. It was a huge learning experience and one I almost immediately afterwards, I wanted to. I've written everything I possibly could down about the experience and about doing that to try to learn and grow as a coach, and even possibility for future information for the possible upcoming Olympics.
Speaking of the upcoming Olympics, and I know none of us are privy to what's being said or bantered about inside boardrooms, but your thoughts about, there's a lot of talk about that may have been the last time NHL players are involved. Your thoughts if that is the case.
Well, it would be disappointing for me. I think the NHL players are the greatest players, or having the greatest players in the game competing for their country is what I love about it. Makes it the greatest hockey tournament in the world. It's the Russians and the Canadians and the U.S. team and the Finns and the Swedes. There's so many great hockey players, and to have the NHL players be able to participate, you get that in the greatest. I think you get the greatest hockey tournament in the world because of it. You know, the logistics of the tournament and the middle of the season aspect of it is a difficult thing. It makes it a little bit harder, and maybe with the Olympics being in places like Russia and Korea, it's a harder probability that it's going to happen. But I would be disappointed if it wasn't that way. And I'm trying to dream a way we can get it maybe to the Summer Olympics and have it at this, in the middle of the summer,
right,
not during the season, and still have it as an Olympic sport.
Well, when you consider that the very first Olympic ice hockey tournament was held in 1920 in the Summer Olympics, maybe that would be bringing it all full circle.
Yeah, I would. I haven't heard that idea, but I would probably propose it because I think it is the greatest hockey tournament in the world, and you'd have be able to access the greatest players to play for their countries if that was the case.
And lastly, I just wanted to ask you about, I know, you're no longer with the Penguins, but your name was bandied about over the course of the summer, Vancouver, Florida. I mean, it seemed like you were in every week you were in a different city. How difficult is that for you as not only a coach, but also as a family man, and to kind of the whole summer is just kind of like a big whirlwind.
The leaving the season and getting fired from Pittsburgh, there was some uncertainty there, and I did interview with the three teams that you mentioned, Vancouver, Carolina, and Florida. And, we had our bags packed. We were starting to pack up our house. We were looking at real estate, and, so there was some uncertainty to that and the uprooting of your family, and that was a part of, the decision and the process for me. Ultimately, it didn't work out, but I also think it was a new time for me. It's a growth and development time for me, and took it as such when you go and interview with those positions and those teams, and now going into a season where I will not be behind the bench. I certainly have the luxury, I think, of being choosy in my current situation. But also, I do want to be a head coach again and will be a head coach again. And don't know when that opportunity is going to come and when that's going to be. But, my family is going to have some stability in Pittsburgh for the year. And my son will have gone into his sixth year of schooling in Pittsburgh. And we have our roots there and our family there. And it'll be that way for another 12 months.
It just seems like it's a fact of life in the world of coaching that if a team gets off to a slow start, the name Dan Bylsma will raise back up in the public conversation.
But that may be the case. And it's our game is like that. We see that happened probably too frequently. So we'll be watching.
Great. Well, as always, Dan, it's always great to talk to you, and it's always great to listen to you present on what you know about the game. And so thanks for taking the time, as always, for talking to us here today.
Thank you.
And thanks, everybody, for listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast.
You've been listening to another USA Hockey Magazine podcast, produced by Norman Hayward and Mark Burns. Be sure to follow us at usahockeymagazine.com, as well as on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Thanks for listening.